RadioInfluence.com.
This is the Cannabis Podcast, powered by Trulieve on Radio Influence. It's an inside look and the scientific facts in and around the world of medical cannabis. Now, here is your host, Ian Beckles.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to the Cannabis Podcast. We're going to have a fun show today. We have Victoria from Trulieve here. How are you today, Victoria?
I'm awesome. How are you?
That's good. Staying busy?
Very busy, yes. Which is good.
So marijuana and cannabis is keeping you busy.
It is. It's definitely a busy industry. Mm-hmm. It's growing. And I don't think it's going to slow down, but that's just my
guess. It's not going to slow down. It would be impossible at this point for it to slow down.
Right.
It'd be literally impossible. And I've pulled up some different figures. Colorado, for instance. Colorado, it was legalized in 2014. And yep. Colorado brought in $67 million that year. Pretty good year, right? Last year, Colorado brought in $247 million.
Wow.
So in 2.5 years, 3 years, they quadrupled what they made. So it's kind of hard not to look at a business plan and think that you're going to double and triple what you did last year.
I haven't been to Colorado in several years, but what I hear out there is that the infrastructure is becoming so great when it comes to schools and putting money back into the local economies from the tax revenue, that it's just an amazing place to live.
No doubt. And they're doing wonderful things in their community. And that's what this is all about. It's about, once again, it's about educating people on what's happening. And we're going to try to use this show today as education and maybe how you can approach some people, because we're all human beings here, and you will still bring up cannabis in some circles, and some people will say, well, that's a gateway drug. And you know, my thing with the whole gateway drug thing is, and I saw Trulieve came out with a saying. They said it's not a gateway drug. You call cannabis something else.
It's an exit drug.
Exactly. You know what's a gateway to heroin? Opioids.
Yes.
Literally. Like, you take heroin.
It's a very similar concept.
Yeah, you can't afford it. Or you take the pills. You can't afford the pills, and you go to heroin. That's a gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Marijuana and cannabis is just something that it seems like alcohol, everybody kind of has to try it. And then you make your decisions after that. But it doesn't really lead to anything. But, you know, as I'm a parent, I have some kids that are out of college, some kids are still in college. And the one thing that we're not really taught now that cannabis is legal is really how to talk to our children about it. This is how I went about it growing up. Okay. I'm old and I'm 51 years old. All my kids are at least 20. So my youngest is going to turn 21 in November. I would bet my house they have all smoked marijuana. I bet my house on it.
Probably. Okay?
With my son, it would be a safe bet. Since I've smelled it before. With my eldest, I know she's tried it. And my youngest, I'm just positive that they've all tried it before. I mean, is there any kind of a book that explains to everybody how you're supposed to verbalize this to your children? Because it used to be illegal. It used to be like, don't do it. Now it's legal, sort of. Is there any book or any way you're supposed to verbalize this to your children?
There actually are. If you go on Amazon, I've seen a couple of, and they're very few and far between, mm-hmm. a couple of books or help guides on how to talk to people in general, but specifically kids, about cannabis as medicine. And I would think it's similar to any other kind of medication you use in the home. You know, this is something that is for me. It's not to share, that sort of thing. However, it's a bigger conversation just in our society, how we feel like we can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. I have a 5-year-old and I still think, how am I going to bring this up and talk about what I do for a living, and how do I phrase it right so that when she tells people at school what I do for a living, mm-hmm. the message is similar or not? There's not that kind of like backlash, especially when she tells her teacher or her principal.
Yeah.
And then I get called into the office. So I think it's an important conversation as a society that we need to have. The challenge is so many adults still don't understand what it really is, mm-hmm. and how to talk about it. So how do you expect us to be able to talk to kids about it and that message be the same? Alcohol, we all understand, right? Yeah. It's illegal till you're 21. Mm-hmm. there are dangers associated. Here are the dangers of abusing it. Here's how you use it in a very healthy, very, you know, normal way where it's not over. And if you don't like it, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You kind of make that decision.
Sure.
If it's good for you, not good for you. But I think cannabis doesn't have that, but it needs that roadmap. What is it truly? And it's not a gateway drug. It's a medicine. Mm-hmm. And so until we get to the core of what it is, and that's not going to happen, honestly, until it's federally legal that we can even start to have those intelligent conversations.
Well, like I said, I'm doing more reading than I would like to do. I like to look over things and pass over things. But when you're coming down to this, the marijuana laws, there's a lot of different things that you got to kind of read up on. They said Broward County School Board, they unanimously approved. They're going to allow students to receive medical marijuana treatment on the school grounds under tightly controlled conditions.
Yeah.
So that means marijuana is getting somewhere, though.
Yeah, I think that's a huge win for our country, but for Florida, because I have to dig into a little bit about specifically what is going to be allowed, because I have a feeling they have some limitations on maybe how it to be delivered. Like I would imagine oils and tinctures and things like that are okay. But I think it's awesome because if your child needs medication, whatever that is, the school has to allow for that. If your child has epilepsy, you want them to be involved in a life as normal as possible. You can't do that because it's not allowed in school. It would be horrible. So I think that's a huge win. I think what's great about that is we're going to see that the sky doesn't fall because those kids are allowed to have it in school. And that conversation will be open. So I think it's awesome. I'm excited to see how that progresses.
I think it's awesome too. And it says students would be given non-smokable products such as oils, tinctures, edibles, or lotions administered by a parent, a guardian, or a caregiver. And actually the school nurse is not going to be allowed to administer the product. And that's okay because they don't want to really get involved with it. But here is the conundrum, okay? Mm-hmm. Since marijuana is still illegal under federal law, that the schools are taking a risk of losing federal funding. So it's still backwards. It's still because you're allowing this kid to do what they need to do for them to feel right. And you're still worried about your federal funding. So it's still a little bit backwards.
Yeah. And I don't actually foresee that happening, but it's a risk. Doctors feel the same way because doctors that practice in this space and also work in Medicare, Medicaid with insurance companies, they have that fear. Colleges, universities, they want to study it, but they can't with fear of losing that federal funding that they get.
I've heard they're coming along the way, though. I talked to my people from Magical Butter. Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot of work with USF.
Yes.
I heard Florida A&M is doing a lot of work. So they're opening their doors to medical marijuana. And they have doctors there that are going through. They're doing all their studies there. So they're definitely doing some advancements over there as well. So when you're talking about the stigma of cannabis and marijuana, I don't know if there's ever been anything that's had such a false stigma. Mm-hmm. Like there's a stigma on cocaine, okay?
Sure.
I've never done cocaine in my whole life. Never done it. Never going to try it. There's a stigma on it. When I talk to people about it that do it, it's not a stigma when people are telling me that that's the way it is.
Right.
You know, like people say, well, cocaine makes you this. Well, that's alleged. Then you talk to people that do cocaine and that's exactly how they explain it.
Right, right. It's very simple that this is what it does to your body. Mm-hmm. In cannabis, people say this is what it does to you, but they twist it a little bit from the dangers, like, oh, you're going to get high.
Yeah.
But in reality, if you're sick and you have conditions that warrant the use of it, that feeling is actually attacking those negative cells. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you have severe pain or severe conditions, that euphoria that patient feels is relief.
No doubt. No doubt. And euphoria and relief, that's the most important thing. Anybody that's sick. Now, we talk about coworkers, okay? Mm-hmm. I am somebody that has my medical marijuana card. I work for myself, so I don't have to really worry about this. But is it getting to a point where if you have your medical marijuana card and you're at work, should you be scared to take it out and take a hit of it, thinking that your coworker may rat you out? Where are we with that?
Well, technically, it is illegal to do that in the state of Florida. Unless
do that meaning
use your medication at work.
At work, okay.
At work.
Okay.
In any public place. Mm-hmm. So you get into those situations where maybe you work for a private company or yourself. Or, you know, I work for a medical marijuana company. But we still have to follow that policy where I can't medicate at work. Mm-hmm. I can, however, use CBD. That's allowed to be used in public spaces. Mm-hmm. So that is an option. But I think that's one of the biggest challenges is now it's medicine. Oh, but you can't use it only when you're at home. Well, that's not helpful for people trying to live productive lives, you know, have jobs, have families. That is a big challenge. So that's where we are. It's not allowed. And on most offices do not allow it. I've seen lots of chatter on social media about people not getting jobs because they have their medical cannabis card, losing jobs because of random drug testing.
That's scary. That's a scary,
scary
part. Yeah, that's a scary
it's
part.
It's very scary.
And as far, like, say for your boss, okay, for instance, I went and I actually did a CTE test. It was an NFL caliber CTE test that we did. And at that point, I already had my medical marijuana card and I had indulged a little bit in the morning before I went to my test. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, have you taken any drugs today? And I said, well, I have a medical marijuana card and I took a couple hits this morning for anxiety. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't really matter why you took a couple hits in the morning.
Right.
But then right away the doctor said, well, we can't do this study right now if you're high. I said, I'm not high.
Right. It's medicine.
I was explaining it to a doctor, which I thought that was weird. Like if I had to explain things to a doctor, your boss is not going to understand.
Yes. Listen, we have that same conversation on a daily basis with physicians, trying to understand that it's not, you're not high because you're medicating throughout the day. It's could be what your body needs to allow you to function and allow you to get out of bed and do what you're out there doing.
Sure.
They don't understand that. And remember, doctors didn't learn about the endocannabinoid system in medical school, which is what this plant feeds, is that endocannabinoid system in our body. They didn't learn about that. They took courses on drug addiction and marijuana was included in that. I actually unknowingly went to speak to a pharmacy class at USF and they didn't tell me the title of the class. Mm-hmm. So I went in and I'm, you know, talking about medical cannabis. After it's all over, the teacher's like, yeah, this is great. We want you to come back to our drugs of addiction course. And I'm like, that's the course?
Drugs of addiction.
I was like, I had no idea that was the topic, or I would have framed what I was speaking about differently, speaking about exit drugs and gateway drugs. Mm-hmm. And it was just very interesting. So those are the types of courses that they're going through and learning about this medication in that context. Mm-hmm. So it's hard when you're taught that way.
It is hard. And you can't change people's mindsets. Like you say, for instance, drug of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think drug of addiction, the first one that comes to mind is alcohol.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the other ones. I mean, pills, cocaine, heroin, LSD, all of those. I'm not a doctor. But I can say that marijuana hasn't been physically addicting to me. Is that something that they say is a fact? Or do they say that marijuana is physically addicting or it isn't physically addicting or is it still up in the air?
Well, we don't have enough research because it's not allowed to be studied to show that it's physiologically addictive.
Which is weird too.
However, Israel has been doing that research and they haven't found that there's an addiction property in your body that gets addicted to it, like opioids, like heroin. There's a real brain trigger that you can't stop. That's why detoxing is the horrible process that it is when you're detoxing from any of those drugs. When you take a tolerance break from cannabis, your body resets very, very quickly and there aren't withdrawal symptoms. So that's one of the signs that you know that your body doesn't become addicted to it. However, if you're sick and you use it and you feel better, the thought process is, oh, I can't stop using it or I'm not going to feel good anymore. And then people interpret that as addiction when in reality, it's like drinking water. You stop drinking water, you start feeling sick. You get dehydrated. You need more water. So it's one of those things that your body needs because of that endocannabinoid system. And it's not always about high doses and tons of it. It can be very small amounts that help just based on what your condition is and what you're struggling with.
And the thing is, like I said, everybody's different. I'm just telling for myself. Like I said, not was last year. I said, okay, I'm just going to stop doing everything for a month. I'm not going to have any cannabis in my system for a month. Nothing happened.
No.
Like nothing.
You don't sweat.
Nothing.
You don't get the shakes.
No, it's like I was waiting for something to happen. I was like, I want something to happen.
Right.
And then I started back up a month later and I was like, here I am back again. And it was just, it wasn't that big of a deal. You know, you see people with alcohol and a lot of other drugs, and it's a mess.
Yeah.
Like you're in a room all bundled up in a fetal position, and you can't breathe, and you can't, and there's a lot of bad things going on. It just, I'm not, I don't see that, and I don't feel that with cannabis. Now, looking at your guys' website, I see, keep on seeing True Leavers. What is it? What is a True Leaver?
True Leavers are our patients. They're our customers. We kind of create this cult following in a sense of people. That love our products, that love our brand. We want to connect with them. So we, you know, we call them True Leavers. So when you're a True Leaver, you're one of us.
I like it. I like it. I need a
You're true, definitely a True Leaver.
I'm definitely a True Leaver. I need a True Leaver shirt or something like that. Something cool like that. And the Silver Tour, what is that?
So we're partnering with an organization called the Silver Tour. And this is the perfect segue to kind of talk about how you talk about cannabis to people. So the Silver Tour was started by a man named Robert Platschorn. We'll get him on the on this podcast soon. He served the longest prison sentence in history for a nonviolent cannabis offense. First time offense with cannabis.
Okay.
He served almost 30 years in prison. 30 years.
30 years.
And he tells a story because while he's serving time in prison for this, there's a man by the name of Irv Rosenfeld who is a federal medical marijuana patient, meaning the government mails him marijuana every month for medicating. So while this, he tells a story, while he's in prison, there's a legal patient getting it mailed by the federal government. What an oxymoron that this is. So after he got out of prison, he started an organization called the Silver Tour, and they their whole purpose is to educate seniors on the benefits of medical cannabis and to push for, you know, full reform legalization in the country. And he is right here in Florida. He's down in the West Palm Beach area. So he's a local Floridian, and we are putting him back out on the road giving talks all over the state of Florida. There's actually one going on today. We had one yesterday, last week. And we're going into communities, 55 plus neighborhoods with, you know, their clubhouse, bringing them all in, talking to them about it. Because when you get a group together, a group of friends, a group of neighbors, a group of people in a community that don't know about it, and they're all looking around going, oh, well, we all look the same.
They look the same.
We all...
We're like-minded.
Well, if we're all okay with this, why aren't we talking about it? Why aren't we doing it?
Why aren't we doing it? Yes.
So... We've got tons of shows planned. We'll be all over the state through the end of this year. And then we'll kind of kick it back up at the beginning of next year when a lot of the snowbirds come back into Florida because they qualify. So he really focuses on that older generation that went through that, you know, that brainwashing of cannabis prohibition and just, you know, don't understand that it's available and it's okay again. It's okay again.
No doubt. No doubt about that. Now, we're this is a cannabis podcast with Ian Beckles that's powered by TrueLeave. Also want to show some love to Tetra Health Centers. You can go over there and see Dr. Scott. Whatever your ailment is, you walk in with your, you know, x-rays or papers, talk about your ailment. And Dr. Scott will see you. After Dr. Scott sees you, then he's going to send you over to TrueLeave, and they'll definitely head you in the right, put you in the right direction. But 2814 West Martin Luther King is where you'll find Tetra Health Centers, 813-898-8009. 813-898-8009 is Tetra Health Centers. Now, you were talking about Canada, and Canada has done, you know, some amazing things in the last little while. I don't believe edibles and concentrates are legal yet. But everything else is, I believe.
In Canada?
In Canada, yes.
Yes, yes. So they went full legal July of this summer. And again, I don't. I know that they have. They can smoke, and they have full flower, full plant products. I'm not sure about all the technicalities of what they can and can't have, but that's huge for us, them being neighbors, them being so close. And as we see how their society progresses, and again, the sky's not going to fall down. Everybody's going to be just fine. If anything, they're going to reinvigorate their economy with it as well. Then I think that kind of will bleed into the United States, and they see that it's okay.
Absolutely.
Done correctly.
Done correctly.
Put some structure around it. Really take the time to build out a structure that makes sense and that keeps everybody, in line with growing and with, who needs it, who doesn't need it, that sort of thing. So I think it's a big thing for our country to see how that progresses in Canada.
Now, if a Canadian person comes across the border and has a card from Canada, can he use it at Trulieve?
No, not in Florida.
Okay. So then he's SOL.
In Florida. In Florida. However, they can become patients of Florida if they have part-time residency here. So we have a lot of Canadian snowbirds in Florida. If they have some sort of ownership here, they can prove that by a utility bill, by a lease or a mortgage on, at a vacation home, then yes, they can. But generally, no.
So can they bring their own?
No.
They cannot bring it over the border. Mm-mm, well, that sucks.
You can't even cross state lines with it, let alone into Canada.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, that's what's so weird about it right now. Is it, like, you could be sitting in a living room and be doing it legally and then move two blocks over and not be able to do it.
Yes. It's a huge problem for people who think about Disney World, right? People come into Disney World all the time on vacation. Many of them need this.
Of course.
Children
they do.
Especially. Mm-hmm. Can't have it. Can't have it there.
It's crazy, actually. Now, it's just... It's un-American in a lot of ways. It's ignorant in a lot of ways. And it's just, we're still putting people in jail.
Yes.
We're still putting people in jail for small amounts of marijuana. Yeah. Like when I see there was an NFL player that was pulled over and he had some CBD oil and got in trouble for him having some CBD oil, I was like,
really?
You should be pushing this guy to be taking that CBD oil. Mm-hmm. That's going to make him that much better.
Yeah.
And it's just the ignorance and the lack of knowledge that's going on out there. And I think people have the knowledge. Just don't think they give a crap at this point.
You know, you don't really care about things until they affect you, right? That's kind of selfishness as people. I mean, it's just kind of an inherent trait. Obviously, we care about others. But if it's not affecting our daily lives, do we really sit around and think about it? This isn't any different. So, your neighbors might think, why are they using that? That's weird. It's illegal. I don't understand. And then that neighbor goes through something personal health-wise and it's going to help them. All of a sudden, it's like, well, why don't you tell me more about that?
Yeah.
So that's kind of human nature is just, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, 71% of Florida voted for a medical marijuana program.
Correct.
But I think a lot of them voted blindly. Not that they didn't support it. They were just like, oh, great.
Yeah.
I don't have any opinion either way. I'm not necessarily going to go out and get my card, but I'm not against it. So
it pertains to them.
Yeah. They don't think it pertains to them. So then they go home and we're not seeing 71% of Floridians sign up to be a medical marijuana patient. So I think it goes to show you people are supportive, but until it personally affects your life, there's no action.
No doubt. I mean, that it may, like, you'll ask a lot of people about it. Most people just kind of shrug their shoulders like, and I don't care. Like, I don't care if they smoke weed or whatever, but it's going to come around. What goes around comes around, and it's going to be a point where a doctor is going to approach you, whoever you may be, and they're going to say, well, cannabis is an option.
Right.
You know, I know some people that have MS, and I brought it up the other day, and they looked at me, I said, have you not looked into this? And they were like, no. And I was like, man, are you kidding me?
Oh, I know. It's so heartbreaking.
You should be the first people to be looking into this.
Yep.
Like stuff like that, like MS. And that's, to me, that's when cannabis is at its best. Yep. When I see those stories and those documentaries about those kind of stories, that's when it's at its best. Now, you guys also have true stories.
We do.
Those are just stories of success stories?
Yeah, there are patients. There are patient testimonials, and we call them true stories. We publish them on our Facebook page and our YouTube page every Tuesday for True Story Tuesday. And we're hoping that as we build up a database of those stories, and we have hundreds and hundreds, that people will watch them and say, that person looks like me. They sound like me. They have that ailment that I have. And it helps because they're like, oh, I didn't even think about it helping for that condition mm-hmm. or this condition? And it starts to put a name and a face to what we're doing versus what people think.
Sure. And from what I've watched, first and foremost, let me say this. If you're a veteran that has been through some stuff and you have PTSD, first of all, thank you for serving your country. Mm-hmm. Second of all, go look into it.
Yeah.
Because the things that I've seen, and I've seen a kid say, well, my daddy was taking pills. He was terrible. And then he started to smoke marijuana and I love him now. And he does great things and he plays with me. And the one thing is people don't realize is you're giving a pill for anxiety or PTSD. And then 6 months later, you figure out that that pill's doing something for you. And they give you a pill for that. And then that pill's doing something for you. Then they give you a pill for that. Now you're taking 20 pills.
Yeah.
You're taking 20 pills for one thing.
Yep.
Where if you take that away sometimes and you make that the right thing, which is from the earth and natural, you won't have the 20 other pills that are taking away all the other things. And it happens quite often.
Yeah. The veteran population is probably the one that's really getting left behind because I've approached a lot of different veteran organizations to help. I just want to come in and talk to them. And they can't even have a conversation with me because of the industry itself and it being federally illegal. Sure. So imagine if a vet walks into the VA or to a group or an awesome veterans organization with questions, they don't have the answers and they can't talk about it.
Sure.
And it's really unfortunate.
No doubt. Now, I happen to know Joe Redner and I know John Morgan a little bit and they're still fighting and they're winning and then it's on the back burner and it's on hold. And I don't know where that's going to be. How does that affect Trulieve, those cases?
Well, it's like a roller coaster because one moment you think, okay, great, we're at the top and then it's all downhill from here in terms of how the market's progressing and how patients are finally getting what they want. And then all of a sudden someone slams the brakes and you're stuck at the top
mm-hmm.
and anticipating, the excitement of what's to come. So it's been difficult because we'll say, okay, this is close to happening. Let's get ready. Let's prepare mm-hmm. our team. Let's think about what we're going to put out into the stores. And then it's like, well, pull the plug. Hold on a minute. We're stuck in litigation. And that's where we are. We're just stuck. We're ready. We're excited. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be a little bit more time before we are able to actually go down that fun part of the roller coaster and start to expand into what
I think you
more
might be
want.
Right. You might be right for that. And I'm going to get Joe Redner in here and speak to him, John Morgan as well, and see where they are.
That would be awesome.
Pick their brains a little bit because they're very passionate about what they're doing. And, I'm sure they know of Trulieve and I'm sure they know a lot about how Trulieve has mm-hmm. helped out everybody here in the Florida area. So if you're somebody who is looking just looking for knowledge when it comes to cannabis, Trulieve is definitely the way to go. If you have any questions for me, and if I don't have the answers, I'll go to Victoria. I'll ask somebody around me who has the answers. Ian Beckles at radioinfluence.com. If you guys want to ask me any questions about cannabis, I'll answer them any way I can. Like I said, it's a process. You want to go to Tetra Health Centers first, 2814 West Martin Luther King, and go see Dr. Scott. Whatever your diagnosis is, if you are eligible for a card, then that's when you want to go to Trulieve. And Trulieve has all the wonderful products and there's different things popping up every day. Anything new popping up at Trulieve?
We have some really cool new things coming.
Yeah.
Very sort of progressive in the cannabis space as a whole, but certainly first for Florida.
Okay.
When you think about kind of debunking stigmas, we're putting some very serious science behind it and research. Mm. Into putting products out that will kind of bust that, everybody's just out to get high stigma. Mm-hmm. So coming soon. The next couple of podcasts, I can talk a little bit more about those.
Okay. Well, we will be right here so you'll be able to bring them and show us the new apparatuses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And maybe I could steal one and try it out when it's all over. But Victoria, thank you. We appreciate you all
Thanks.
Sitting in. And once again, you want to show some love to Trulieve and also Tetra Health Centers. I have a couple other podcasts in the trenches. It's my football podcast that comes out on Monday, and it is football season, and Flavor in Your Ear comes out on Friday. Yes, football season, it's time, and we get a chance to watch our Buccaneers play tomorrow night a little bit, so you want to take advantage of that. Once again, thank you to Trulieve and Tetra Health Centers. I appreciate you guys listening in and getting a little education when it comes to cannabis. Everybody have a wonderful week, and smoke something delicious and legal. Peace out.
For more information on medical cannabis, make sure to visit Trulieve on Twitter at Trulieve or Trulieve.com. That's TRULIEVE.com. Also, make sure to follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles. This has been the Cannabis Podcast, powered by Trulieve on Radio Influence.
This is a Dark to Light with Frank and Beans quick fix on Radio Influence.
If Sarah Sanders was a police officer, would you mess with that woman?
No.
Would you mess with that woman ever?
I wouldn't mess with her ever if she was a member of the local PTA.
That woman is amazing.
I would say this. If Sarah Sanders was a man and if Jim Acosta was a woman, I mean, what are we even talking about here?
You're right. I didn't even do that. I never flipped the script around to think about what that would have been like.
Do a gender flip and test out anything that you see going on that is only excused because of everybody's political affiliations.
We want to think about this out loud for a second. If you did a gender flip of Sanders being a man and Acosta being a woman, Sanders would have been destroyed.
No, it's just remarkable. It's remarkable because it accentuates, and it's not, you know, calling people out and this and that. All of this war on women stuff and all of this stuff, obviously, this has nothing to do with actually caring about women and being nice to each other and being, you know, whatever, having decorum. Has nothing to do with it, because if certain types of behavior are excused along party lines, then it's obviously just a party platform nonsense point.
Dark to Light with Frank and Beans can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.